Good morning. We write our names on history's page. Sometimes we write our names with pride. At other times, we write our names in shame. Pride comes with an expiry date. Shame, however, tends to linger long past its sell-by date. I am told it's all a matter of perception. So accusations will always be accusations until they're proven otherwise in a court of law. But reputations will always be damaged by those accusations. I am told it is a matter of perception. So whether you're a white businessman or a black politician or a vagrant who sleeps on the steps of government buildings, whether you have the financial wherewithal to secure the services of popular QCs, or you have to seek legal aid, or you're forced to defend yourself, and whether you can post bail, or you have to be incarcerated because of lack of a surety, accused persons will always hope that that lady with the blindfold and the scales will dispense justice fairly. But the perceptions will always linger, like the shame. I'm Dennis Johnson. This is the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. You can reach us by calling 434-1790. You can send a WhatsApp message to 266-IVOB, or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. Our technical operator, producer, is John Stout, and we will be together until 1. So let's hear what's on your mind. Good morning, and welcome to you.
Good morning, John Dennis.
Good morning, sir.
I got a question for you.
Shoot.
Is this an aside? Is jaywalking a law in Barbados?
Jaywalking?
Yeah.
Jaywalking, I am told there is some statute about it. Whether it is called jaywalking or whether there's another name for it, whether people bother with it at all, I don't know. But it is, as far as I know, not
next
legal.
Next question is,
I stand to be corrected on that, though.
Is there such a thing as jaywalking? The reason I asked that yesterday, you know, delays there by the Fraser Street bus terminal, you know, like Zaini, the traffic light. I have told the Philip Minister about this many times. Before you can get halfway good, you like changes that. Right? So why does I walk along the Fraser Street terminal with the vendor cell, and then I will step down once there's no buses coming, stand up on the road island,
trap and then walk across the road?
Yeah. Yesterday, I got off a transport bus, and they did just that.
Right.
A police vehicle with a police officer, obviously driving it, two of them, stopped and motioned me to come across the road.
Right.
When I get across the road, the man called me and tell me, and asked me if I know that.
About jaywalking?
I can't be reported. I said, my man, if I can be prosecuted, you will also have to be named as an accomplice. Because you stopped and you motioned me to come across the road. You did not stop and tell me, sir, your man, whatever, you're not allowed to do this, go to the crossing. So when I mentioned the fact about jaywalking, he told me that jaywalking is a slang.
Which is why I said I don't know what it's called. Remember I said that, right? I don't know what it's called. It's failing to comply with the traffic sign, I'm told, is what you are going to be accused of. That's from somebody who should know. Let me put it that way.
No.
Jaywalking is an American term. Americanism, let me call it that.
Right. If I was that said by Chinese, where is a regular practice where people walk through
They just walk across the road, yes.
Right, you see, and I don't want that bad. I'm nobody, but it's surprising nobody get it on there. Yeah. And things to when they're doing it, they actually challenge the drivers. ITMA.
Well, listen, it's against the law to fail to comply with the traffic sign, whether you're walking or you're driving, as far as I know, or the directions of a police constable in uniform or a police officer in uniform. That's why if there's a police station that intersections overriding the traffic lights, you're supposed to comply with it. And you usually see notices saying, you know, X road is closed or Y road is closed, and to be guided by policemen in uniform. But you should not just walk up and down in between traffic. It's not allowed.
Even by the roundabouts where, which is in my opinion, where roundabouts, where pedestrian crosses, in my opinion, is badly positioned. Let's say coming from Purity, what I do, I come at the, just before you go into the bank, stop, look back up to see what traffic is coming down from Purity, and then look across Martin Dale's Road. Once the road is clear, I cross to the Roy Island.
On the zebra crossing?
Right, and then check and see what's coming from Jefferson Lane, and then proceed. Right, because, again, you have a pedestrian crossing place right in the bank where you cannot make contact with the vehicle, or who driving the vehicle cannot make contact with you. I also spoke to that already. I was told by a retired CTO if you move the crossing, the bike and cross rate. Well, my response to him was, if you move and put it in a zone of safety, and they choose to put their life at risk, nobody can sue MTW. But the way it's positioned right now, I can't open itself for a lawsuit.
So the thing about the zebra crossings in roundabouts, something I've had mixed feelings about it, and I've raised it with various people, not only traffic officers or people in MTW. They claim that you should be decelerating when approaching a roundabout. The problem is coming out of the roundabout, you're usually accelerating. So when the zebra crossing is on your approach to the roundabout, yes, it's because you should be decelerating, it is easy. But when you're coming out of a roundabout where you usually are accelerating, placing it there is, to me, a bit of a challenge. But the distance, I suppose, they will have to know why they measure the particular distances. One of the things, though, let me just say this to you. One of the things, and it's one of the areas where I usually lean towards the side of the MTW and the officials in this one, is the area of the hospital. Between the two roundabouts on either side of the hospital, there are no fewer than 5 zebra crossings. 5. And 2 are controlled by lights. 1 by the hospital itself and the other one down by the St. Michael's School. But there are about 5 in that area. And I lean, because it's a hospital, I think your speed should be slow. You should be looking for, and by a school. So, you know, going through that area, I am usually very cautious. The thing is, also, other people don't do the same thing. They overtake you when you stop.
Also, too, pedestrians are not without blame in most of these things. A lot of people, when they see the black and white mark, they just walk across.
Well, you're supposed to look for pedestrians when you see the crossing. One of the things we have to do in Barbados, sir, is if we are talking about first world country, if we're talking about tourist destination, adequate signage is important. And by adequate signage, I mean signage that complies with international law. And on approaching zebra crossings, there is usually a sign that says zebra crossing ahead. There are signs on the roads in Barbados. Some of them comply with international law, some do not. One of the things I'd like to see standardized as well is the use of our roundabouts. Almost every roundabout in Barbados has a different set of laws, or people just do what they want to do around it.
Now, one more thing before I go, before I come off this, one more thing after this. I noticed, and this is an ad that the ministry has running on TV, and rightly so, you should not stand by a pedestrian crossing.
Unless you plan to cross, and we'll talk.
Right.
But saw that this morning, too.
Right. Yet, there on River Road, you have a parcel right next to a bus port. Mm-hmm. At Well House, you have a parcel right by a bus port where people have to stop and wait for a bus. And it causes a lot of confusion. I think they need to relook those two positions. Finally, can you remember, it was last week, I told you that we don't live in a democracy, we live in fear.
So you said.
Right. Well, I have found one real life example so far. It was last Saturday, couldn't get the ED Village bus. No, ED Village is a one bus. Anyhow, skipping all that, I spoke to someone in authority because of the behavior of someone in authority at Transport Board. A message I was asked to relate to the person who was offended, the commuter, to write a letter and send it off to the relevant person. You know what was said to me? We can't do that. If we do that, the situation will get worse. It will get spiked. So you see many too that we live in fear. Now, if the Transport Authority does not know what is going on, how can they act on something that they don't know? But it will still be worked on, because when I spoke to the same supervisor, he told me I can blast it and you to run the buses or something to that effect. So I am going to look after my aunt. You ain't going to get away from me. But when you got people sitting in a bus terminal from 11 to almost 4 o'clock, about 4 o'clock, and I keep on calling, all here and on the bus there, and they relay a message that was given to me because of the supervisor's behavior. And you can get the response. We can't do that because we will get victims, it will get worse. So when they told you that we don't live in a democracy, we live in fear.
So fear is something we create for ourselves because of what we imagine will be done to us by other people. That's what fear is. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Morning, ma'am.
I just making a query. I realize of recent when Mr. Babb is reading the news, his voice tends to go up and come down. Most of the time when it's down is when he's making the crucial point or telling you the most important part of the news. I don't know if y'all observe it, but you can try letting him know. Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Okay. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Joseph. How are you?
I'm fine, sir. And you?
That's bad. A couple of things here, really.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing has to do with, what do you understand how the IMF operates, and who are the people who contribute the funds to the IMF?
So the IMF is an organization of many people. Barbados is a member of the IMF, so therefore I have no idea what their financial obligations are, how much they pay, how much comes from whoever, but it's international monetary means just that, money from international sources.
Are not these what you call people who would invested their money in this organization with the expectation that this investment will bring back a return, and it's not run like a charity organization?
I don't think you could call it a charity organization, sir. I don't think that's what it's there for. It is called a lender of last resort. Lender of last resort does not mean charity.
Okay.
It means when all else fails, this is who you come to because you're a member of it, and you expect because you're a member, you will participate in, or they will assist you in whatever you require assistance from.
And yeah,
for.
The bottom end is that there are people who they want back their money, but they are going to put programs in place to make sure that they recover the money. No. The question that I...
More than that, sir, and this is the part I think, you know, when you people make these statements sometimes that you miss, they also ensure that you spend the money on what you say you're going to spend it on.
That's why I say programs in place. Mm-hmm. It includes all of that.
Monitoring, yeah.
Right. The other thing is, though, can we negotiate in the position that we are in right now?
Yes, we can.
But will our voice be heard?
Well, that's another question. It depends on how good you are at negotiating.
So if I say to you that Bob is, the Prime Minister said that it might be layoffs, but minimal layoffs, and then the IMF is not up to the IMF to determine if they're going to be minimal or maximum.
No, it's not up to them.
And before they brought the program to you, it's like how all the austerity measures were in Greece, where they had to say 1,000 people, cut people's wages and all sorts.
That's because of how Greece negotiated and what they negotiated for.
Okay. I don't think nobody's going to let you money here unless they're sure we'll get back.
So, did Mr. Sandiford get money from the IMF?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. What did he have to do to pay it back?
What did he have to do to pay it back?
Uh-huh.
He sent home a lot of people.
He sent home a lot of people? That's not true. They had an 8% cut.
People went home too.
But they had an 8% cut.
But people went home on the Mr. Sandler for that.
Sir, but there was an 8% cut. The reason why I'm telling you that, precisely. So I am telling you, it does not translate only into people going home. There may be other adjustments you have to make depending on how you negotiate. That's the point I'm trying to make. But you just go fast to what you want to say, so go ahead.
No. Just give me an example of some of these adjustments.
Sir, I don't know. It varies from country to country. Grenada's under IMF program. Jamaica's been under IMF program for the longest while they had to devalue. Trinidad went under IMF program. They floated their currency. So it depends on what you negotiate, what you can pay back, what you give them as securities, and how you negotiate a program and what type of program it is.
But the exception of Grenada just had another problem with the hurricane.
Sir, the cause of your problem is not the issue, you know.
Oh, right.
Sir, money, you said it, not me. So I am going to tell you what you said. People lend you money based on your ability to pay it back or what they perceive as your ability to pay it back. That's what they lend you money for, not because of how you get there.
Right. Can you go to the bank and ask the bank to lend you a loan of $5 million?
I could.
Right. But where you get it?
I don't know. That depends on what I tell them and what I want it for. And what I bring to prove to them that I could do it. So if I went to the bank and asked the bank for $5, and when they ask me why, I tell them, because I want $5. They don't tell me, go to the bank. But if I go to them and I tell them I want $5 million, and they ask me why, and I say to bring 2 hovercraft to Barbados to travel between Barbados and the rest of the Caribbean. These are my people. These who standing by. These will provide support. These people here are the navigators. This is how much money I plan to make. They may tell me yes. I don't know. Okay. It depends on what I tell them.
But you're a very lucky man because I have been.
That is correct. I am indeed.
I meant to get a small loan. And it is that I had to go through to get that small loan.
Because you don't know how to negotiate, sir.
Pardon me?
Because you do not know how to negotiate.
I do not know how to negotiate.
That is correct.
I would say that I don't know.
The bank can lend you the money, so I prove my point. You prove yours.
No. I did get your loan, but I had to get somebody to sign for the agreement of the loan.
That is because they trust the person more than they trust you.
At the time, the business was slow.
Sir, it's because they trust the person more than they trust you.
No.
Yes.
More financially secure than I am.
Then they trust the person more than they trust you.
Being financially secure doesn't mean that I trust you,
Sir, I will repeat. They trust the person more than they trust you. Right. Good. You can dress it up how you want to dress it up.
In other words, you are saying that they're more reassured of getting the money from that person than they are.
They trust the person more than they trust you. I tell you, you could dance all. I don't dance. You could foxtrot. You could waltz. You could do all you want to do. I just tell you.
Right. My last point. I was getting back to these countries that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Jamaica, let's look at Jamaica. Is Jamaica any better than it was, let's say, 40 years ago?
Sir, ask a Jamaican that.
Let me show you an example. Just the other day, Jamaica dollar got devalued again. It was 138.90, right? And what happened in Jamaica, that people in Jamaica had a lot of land, so they could grow their crops, their foods and things. So the food stuff will not be a problem because they have a wash of land. The problem is when they have to go and buy things from the store now. Most people in Jamaica buy things with U.S. dollars, like in Guyana. The Jamaica dollars is worthless. So do we want to get our business position like that?
I don't know, sir.
Uh-oh. But you next time you report, well, I will let you to invite the minister.
Sir, I cannot invite any minister onto the program. I am not. How should I call this? I am not educated enough. I am not papered enough to invite anybody. So the next time you see a minister, you talk to them. And I don't know why you want me to do it, because you've consistently said for the last 24 years that I am not to be trusted. That I don't know what I'm talking about. I just mislead the public all the time. You want me to invite a minister? Nah. I ain't got that kind of pull, sir. I'm the boy in the yard. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning.
Good morning, ma'am.
I want to make an observation about Stetson Bab. The thing that lady said about him rigging the youth, I have that same problem as well.
Okay, so ma'am, we will pass the message on to Mr. Bab, ma'am. We will notify him. I thank you for raising the concern. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Johnson, how are you going?
I'm fine, sir, and you?
However, greetings and salutations to your great self.
Yes, sir.
It is not for me to say if Canon Messiah is a better writer than preacher or better preacher than writer. But in his last publication, he said that the fourth time around for the election of a bishop will be ending in deadlock. How accurate he was. Mr. Johnson, sir, we have capable and competent religious Anglican scholars to take up the vacancy left by the Reverend the Honorable Dr. John Holder. And this is one time that the Minister of Ecclesiastical Affairs, in conjunction with the Chief Immigration Officer, should deny the Anglican Administrator a work permit for an outside bishop, which will be chosen from the House of Bishops. It can't be said that we don't have a qualified priest to become the 14th Bishop of Barbados. You see, Mr. Johnson, sir, one must not fall short of reality. The Anglican Church has a lot on its plate. For an example, why I say that the most appropriate and efficient person should be one from amongst their own here, sir, is that you have the refurbishment of St. Michael and All Angels Cathedral. You have to look for an official residency for the Rendon Bishop Court, official bishop residency. You have to look for the new building for the St. Joseph Parish Church, and I can go on and go on. And let's assume, as it has been said, sir, that the younger person, which is Mr. Robert Rogers, is too young. Let's assume, sir, that someone much younger than either his senior, which is the Dean of St. Michael's and All Angels, and himself as Rector of St. George. If to avoid more division of the church, and let's for instance say, sir, that a younger bishop than either Rogers come in, you're going to still have a lot of division and confusion. So I think that seeing that there should be new rules and regulations for the canons and regulations, I think this is the appropriate time now, sir, that the Minister of Ecclesiastical Affairs, as aforesaid, in conjunction with the Chief Immigration Officer, should deny a work permit for someone to come in, knowing that we have someone qualified here, sir.
Sir, I want to tell you that work permits are always granted on the premise that no suitable person has been found. I've always argued that suitable depends on the person making the judgment and not necessarily mine. That's the first thing. I got something real funny to say about this whole thing about electing a bishop, you know, is this. If the church, according to the hymn, is one foundation, and religion is universal, why people keep talking about knowing the bishop and the bishop knowing the clergy and the clergy knowing the person? What are you going to know about the religion? If we are all souls and brothers in Christ, it matter. If I know you from next door, I know you from across the pond. Really? Peter Fenty is a nice fellow. I know Peter Fenty when he was here as a priest. I like Peter. I used to enjoy his contributions to the program when he called. I enjoy talking to him. He's a personal friend of mine. He's a bishop outside of Barbados. Or he ministers to a flock outside of Barbados. And therefore, he don't know the scripture. He don't know how to reach the people. He don't know how to tell them about their spiritual needs and loving thy neighbor. Really? Okay, well, apply to the Minister of Ecclesiastical Affairs and tell them to deny the work permit. There are ways to do that. You write a letter to the Chief Immigration Officer and you state the reasons for your objection. I just hope the Creator doesn't smite me for my sometimes cheeky remarks. Brastax, good morning. Brastax, good morning. I know you're there somewhere, but I guess. 4341790, Brass Tax, good morning. Somebody says to me, I cannot see a bank does not trust the customer. The bank may not have confidence in the company or personal financials at the time. So the comment I was making to the gentleman was the bank does not trust his ability to pay back. That's why I said they do not trust him. Banks lend you money on the ability to pay it back. I said so, yes. And if they don't trust your ability to pay it back, they will not lend you the money. That's why I made the statement the way I made it. And I have no animosity towards the caller. I just think he's far more intelligent than he projects on the program from time to time. He takes positions that I find a little odd for someone with his intelligence. And he is a fairly intelligent person. Received a comment last night from someone about the transport board, and I forwarded it to the transport, someone I know at the transport board, for them to try to pick it up. It says for Brass Tax, I'm frustrated with the shoddy treatment being meted out to me and other commuters who use buses. Some of us use the state buses because we are faithful, and many because we don't have an alternative. Person said, I live at Hope Road, St. Lucie, which is serviced by the Connelltown bus. Most days of the week to get to work, I catch a bus which leaves my village at 12:30 p.m. This bus goes to Bridgetown, and persons who work on the West Coast and even the South Coast catch the bus. On Tuesday, 7th August, they displayed a Spikestown sign. I thought it was an error, since on numerous occasions we had to inform the driver that he had up the wrong destination. In all fairness to the driver, he did tell me when I was about to board the bus that he was instructed to come back in with his Spikestown sign. I chose to get on. Passengers got on, never looked at the sign, since they catch it every day and know that it goes directly to Connelltown. The driver said nothing to them, and on reaching Spikestown, all the passengers who were accustomed to go straight on to Connelltown remained sitting. The driver turned and said that he was told to bring in a Spikestown sign. I told the passengers not to get off as a sign of protest, but you know, Bajans, most of them got off. The driver spoke to someone whom I assume was in charge. He came back and told us that the supervisor said he should not have brought us in. I don't know how he would do that once we paid our fares. We were put in the loading bay and told that the supervisor said we must wait until we get a bus. After waiting about 45 minutes without getting a bus, we crossed the street and caught a minibus. Some of these passengers already pay two fares to get to work. It is disgraceful for the transport board to make them pay three. I know buses are limited, but if they're dispatched fairly, a lot of our frustrations would be eliminated. I read the comment last night and a strange thought crossed my mind. And it's this. If we have too few buses on the road, buses for the transport board that is, what are the drivers employed by the transport board doing? Are they on layoff? Are they on short time? Are they being paid to not drive? What are the drivers at the transport board doing if there are no buses? And how much is it costing the taxpayers? Newsroom, get an answer for me, because I can't call nobody and ask. I doing brass tacks. This is Down to Brass.